bad.
Well, no, give me a better start than that.
Give me Here's a few seconds.
Hey, welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. This is Carl and Linda Bott, joined by our sometime producer, Bad Bob.
And for the first time since we started this show, we did not play our traditional intro. I could play it in a few minutes here, but a few seconds here, but I apologize. My bad.
That's actually my fault. This is Jim Bremer. I distracted Bob and Carl here, so I apologize for that. I'll take all the blame.
And we'll let you have it. Hey, good morning. It is 7:05. It's January the 14th, 2011. Good morning. You know, Linda was here yesterday and is paying for it today. Went to the doctor again. And besides just having the sinus infection, has an inner ear infection now. So she is like she is just in the bed the last time I saw her this morning as I was leaving. But Bad Bob is here. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And good morning, sir.
Hey, you know, we've got a great show today. We have, besides just Jay the taxi driver and Flossie from the streets, we have Patrick Jones, city council member, is coming in here at 7:30. He wants to talk about the charter cities. He wants to talk about why he thinks on Tuesday, and it's a big night Tuesday at the city council, why the city council should vote to put together a committee to look at the charter cities. It doesn't say there's going to be a charter. They may come back and say, well, you know, this won't work for River City here. But he wants to talk about that because Tuesday night's a big night to be down at the city council. We've also got just a number of things going on around here. You know, we had another store close here in town. And the reason that I just want to talk about it, because it's a national chain. It's called Anchor Blue. It's going out of business. They've got 117 stores, one of which is in the Mount Shasta Mall. Anchor Blue, it used to be known as Miller's Outpost. And why am I talking about Miller's Outpost? Because Linda, when she was starting her career off, had just started, been signed for working at a couple of places there, Miller's Outpost hired her, and she was a model for Miller's Outpost in her nationwide campaign. So her photos...
Oh, yeah.
She
I did
was
not
taking,
know that.
Yeah, she was... they would fly her down to L.A., and I think she was all of, like, 18 or 19 there before she went on to, an audition for the Gold Diggers, and they would fly her down, and she's been in several of their commercials back then, and also in the print media. So I thought that was interesting. I'll take that back.
And don't take this the wrong way. I think she still does a pair of jeans excellent justice.
Well, thank you very much. And on that, hey, we're going to take a quick break. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. We're going to have a big day today. We've got a lot of things we want to talk about. We want to talk about, are they going to start pushing gun laws? Are they going to, is this going to be something you see after the Tucson thing? And the other thing is, anybody out there, I mean, do you pay attention to a horoscope at all? Do you pay attention to what the stars say about you? Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk, and it's going to, I'll tell you about what's happening there. It may change your whole life. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl Lindebot, 7:11 in the morning, January the 14th. Hey, today is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 61. Calm winds. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Saturday, partly sunny. Saturday night, may get some rain Saturday night. Sunday, a small chance of rain. Next week, my friends, it looks pretty good. We're talking about highs around 65. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo's Vineyards. And it will be a great weekend to go up there and have dinner. Go up there during the day and have lunch. They have just great food. It doesn't make any difference whether it's lunch or dinner. The same chefs, you know, they're fixing this. And I promise you will enjoy it. The servers, the ambiance, just the just being there and having and eating there and having a glass of wine will just make your day. That's in Samuel's Vineyards. It's around up towards Shingletown outside Palo Cedro. Okay. I know this is going to, before we get into the battle for gun laws, which, by the way, looks like lawmakers are already backing off about it, saying that, well, people kind of understand, no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody says about this crazed individual, you know, being a member
of a right wing organization that's being that was forced into it by Limbaugh or Palin or other people. Everybody realizes that is, you know, anybody that has any common sense knows that. For people to say that is just, you know, it's they themselves have something, an agenda. They have an agenda they want to force on you. Instead, it's, you know, an individual who is, you know, obviously there's something wrong with them that did this. And let's take a good look at that before we start trying to destroy our fairness doctrine and our freedoms and anything else and attacking our, you know, the Constitution. It's, you know, it's that type of thing that, you know, taking a weapon away from Bad Bob does not mean this guy is not going to have one, or a criminal won't have one. I mean, this—it's so redundant. It's so trite anymore to even say that. Even the, you know, our American public believes it. Any, you know, the American public thinks that some. There's only 40% of the American public believe that there should be some kind of gun control laws. Only 40%. So when you think about it, you know, and that has gone down dramatically in the last 10 years. People realize this is your right, and if you're a law-abiding citizen, then you should have the right to do that. This new ammunition law coming up, that's going to be really interesting. We'll talk about that later. But let's talk about something I'm sure has a huge, huge impact on your lives. That's right, astrology. The field of astrology, concerned with horoscopes and the like. Now, anybody out there that doesn't live by your horoscope, Bad Bob will say, you just aren't living. He sets his whole day up by this. He comes in here, he stands in the middle of a pentagram or something. No, okay. The astronomers from the Minnesota Planetarium Society found that because of the moon's gravitational pull on Earth, the alignment of the stars have been pushed by about a month. What the astrologers are saying that the sun is in Pisces, it's really not in Pisces, noted Park Kunkel. That's a good name for an astrologer, Park Kunkel. Your astrology sign is determined by a position of the sun on the day you were born. So that means everything you thought you knew about your horoscope is wrong. All right, so here you go.
This would explain much.
I'm not going to go through all of them because it'll make you crazy, and I'm not really that interested. But it looks like I have changed to another sign. And I have no idea what the sign is, except I don't like it. Why can't we pick out signs we like that kind of say, you know, I've read through all the signs. This one is kind of me. This is the sign I want.
Hey, I can't even pronounce my new one.
Okay. This, and they've added a new sign. It says that the astrology has had issues from its inception, aside from the fact it tries to link personality traits with the position of a star. Ancient Babylonians had 13 constellations but wanted only 12. They threw out, okay, here, I'm going to try it. Ophiuchus, the snake holder. Ophiuchus, the snake holder. They threw that out. Libra didn't even enter the picture until the era of Julius Caesar. So now, if your birthday is between November 29th and December 17th, you are now an Ophiuchus. You better have to look that one up. All right. I've spent more time on that than I thought. But it's just running around through Facebook, and I saw it. So, you know, you might want to look it up and find out your whole life. No wonder that, you know, gosh, you know, my horoscope was wrong today. It's because you run to the wrong horoscope.
How are you going to look if you're picking up a chick and she asks you, hey, what's your sign? And you have something you can't even pronounce?
I'm the snake holder. And then, you know, of course, you know how that could work. Okay. Hey, there's a lot of things going on, too, on Monday, Martin Luther King Day. And the things are going to kick off with a bell ringing ceremony at Old City Hall from 8 to 9 a.m., a multi-faith prayer circle at Court and Yuba Streets. That'll be at 10:45. A march to the Martin Luther King Multicultural Center following the prayer circle. A brunch at the MLK Center at 11 a.m. And that's at 1815 Sheridan Street, by the way. A celebration program for Martin Luther King, noon to 1 p.m. And then community service projects, 2 to 5 p.m. And admission is free to all of this. I think this is something that a lot of people are going to be involved in and should. It starts Bad Bob right across the street from us.
Mm.
So you know, some other things that are happening. And I don't know if you've ever seen the Peking or Beijing acrobats, but they're going to be here at 7:30 Sunday at the Cascade Theater, and that should be a good time. I've seen them before. You know, in fact, it's probably most of these that work for the Cirque du Soleil anyway. And then the young man we had on the other day, Jason Coleman, is going to be at the Reading Convention Center on 7:30 on Tuesday. You know, other things that it makes you wonder about the government sometimes, about why we do some things. You know, we're getting into so many aspects of our life. But one of these maybe is not a bad idea. You know, it's about what they serve at the school lunchrooms. Now, in California, they've got new rules now. But in California, they've gone well beyond what the national guidelines are, as we do many times because we like to do that. But they're going to cut half the sodium out of the meals. They're only going to cut down, like, the starchy vegetables, like French fries, to once a week. It's going to be more vegetables. It's going to be they're taking out a lot of the sugars to do that. And I thought, okay. But they've just also, in the article, they talked about American children. 17% of the children are obese. 17% of the children are obese. And I know that in the trying to find people to enlist into the military, it's not that a lot of them don't want to do that. It's that only like 25 to 30% can even pass the physical test or the mental test, which is something that people need to be a little concerned about this for the future, because if that ocean of enlistees starts dropping, the volunteers, there's got to be something else done. Hey, we've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Free Fire Radio, KCNR. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming on KCNR1460.com. Just go to the website, go up to On the Air, click on it. That'll open up the show. You can hear us, and you can also join the chat room here. The time is 7:23 in the morning. It's January the 14th. It's going to be a great day today. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley has had that business since 1985, some time taken out for going into the 82nd Airborne as a veteran. His phone number is 244-1988. He puts in Dish Satellite, does a great job. Give Doug a call. Give him a chance to come out, take a look at what you want out there, and he will do the right job for you. He's in a new location now. He's at 1345 Liberty Street. But again, his phone number is 244-1988. The House Republicans have teed it up. They're getting ready to go. You know, there was a big change in Congress, as everybody knows, the biggest swing since World War II. And one of the things new House Republicans had run on, one of their platform planks was health care. They wanted to derail the health care plan. They wanted to change the health care plan. They were getting ready to start when that tragedy happened in Tucson. I should say the tragedy. It's the murders down in Tucson of the 6 people and the 12 wounded. They called off the vote in the House. It was going to be scheduled for Wednesday. And they wanted to. They have a series of votes aimed at cutting spending and growing jobs. But the big thing is, they want to kill that health care plan. Now, nobody has said from the beginning that the health care in this country is perfect. Absolutely not. But nobody has said ever that we want to force people into buying insurance. And, you know, and right now there's 22 states that are, you know, going to court to fight this, to say, is this constitutional? And it's reached its first level, and one of the judges says, no, he doesn't believe it is constitutional. So we're on to that one. The other thing, too, is of all the 2,000-plus pages of this health care bill, there's a lot of those, you know, those unintended consequences. You've already got large companies going in saying, you want us to do that, you know, we're going to have to just cut health care completely and go to a different strategy. Well, some of them got buys by the White House. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Here, the bottom line here is this, though. We need to look at it. Should a person lose his insurance if they changed jobs and they had insurance on the other one. No, that shouldn't be automatic. Should you not be able to, you know, should the insurance companies, put an unfair restriction on you, on your family, on your children? No, they shouldn't do that. So there are tweaks to the system that have to be done. But do we need another health care debate? Absolutely. You know, last time, you know, people looked at it, and the vast majority of the... I shouldn't use that term. That's hyperbole. The majority of the people in the United States said, let's go back, let's just kind of scrap this thing and start all over again and actually have a health care debate and something that's not into this kind of passionate, we need to do this or we're all going to die. That's not true. It's not. We're not going to die. We need to have some changes. We don't need to have a bill that's costing trillions of dollars and being lied to even about that. When they said $1.2 trillion, then they got it under that to the hundreds of billions because they took out the money that the doctors were supposed to get for the Medicare thing. And then they since voted that back in or extended it for 2 years. So the whole thing is that Congress needs to get back to business. One of the things I said yesterday, yes, it was a terrible tragedy down in Tucson. But just like every other organization that has so many things riding on it, you can't come to a complete halt. You bow your heads, say your prayers, move on. And we have work for the country that has to do. And this is just part of it. And it's not just, you know, it's just not at the national level, it's at the state level. You know, the change in the things that Brown, Governor Brown is talking about, huge impacts. They're talking about just today in the Record Searchlight in front page. The adult literacy program will be cut out. Now, there's about 100 people that use that. It's mainly done by volunteers, but it's teaching people to read. And one of those things that I find, and I guess I just never even thought about it, that you have 100 people in the adult literacy program to help them, to teach them to read and write, that in this time that we have people that can't read or write. And if you think about that, think about how sad that is. They can't read or write. That means that they've had no schooling or such little amount of schooling. How do you function if you don't read? Bad Bob, have you known people that can't read or write?
I have, and they have a diploma to prove it. It's although they can't read the diploma, and I'm puzzled by a school system that lets this happen.
Well, you know, you can't blame it all on the school. I'm not blaming it all on the school because...
Or parents.
Or parents. I'm looking at the parents. But then again, you remember I was talking about Scott Parks the other day from, that the man that took responsibility for his children, a local guy, works for Essex. He was there, and he stood up, and he took responsibility for his kids. And that's, of course, the problem at certain ages, or most ages, is that parents don't take responsibility for their kids. Anyway. Okay, when we come back... Supposedly, Patrick Jones is going to... Well, there he is. The council member, Patrick Jones, just walked in. So we'll have him. We're going to be talking about the charter cities. Then we're going to be talking philosophy with Jay, the taxi driver. I always enjoy that. He hears some of the weirdest things and some of the greatest things out there on the road. This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after the news. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 605-4567 is our phone line. And KCNR1460.com. Hop on. We're streaming. You can listen to us, but you can chat with us, too, right here on January the 14th. It's going to be a beautiful day. I'll just say this. The sun's going to be shining. It's going to get up to 61. And compared to what we've had, that's a beautiful day. There's a great sunrise this morning, according to people that were watching the sunrise. Bad Bob and I get in here too early for that. And the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's. But this segment of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great place to get your coffee in the morning at Espresso Joe's. It's a great place to meet with your friends in their meeting room that they provide for free. And, of course, the finest walk-in humidor, any type of good cigar that you want is there. They sell all types of tobacco and tobacco products. That's Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley. Support our community. Support the veterans. Go down and visit them. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Good morning, Patrick Jones.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Well, you know, Patrick, with this change in the astrological signs, I figured the least we could do is get you on here and see what the huge impact it's had on your life.
Well, I don't even know what sign I was, so I'm not sure if it's had an effect or not.
I'm sure people have given you signs before.
Many signs, yes.
Okay, you wanted the reason that you, when you called, was there's going to be a big vote on Tuesday.
Well, it's
at the city council.
We always have council meetings, obviously, the first and the third Tuesday of each month. And this is the third Tuesday, and so I'm just inviting people to come out to the council meeting. As always, we want public participation. And the idea of a charter city will be discussed towards the end of the council meeting, and it's an opportunity for the public to come out and take part and ask questions and give us their opinions. So it's a great opportunity for that. And, you know, we've been talking about the idea of a charter city for some time now. And now it's coming to council, and now we have the opportunity for the public to weigh in and give us some feedback as to, do the citizens of Reading think that it's good to move forward with creating our own constitution and getting rid of the state mandates and working on our own local level?
Okay, there's a lot of questions rolling through here from the chat room. Now, my first question is this. The committee that you put to go forward with this, to look at a charter city, they're going to look at all the aspects of it, and they may come back and say, you know, we just want to leave it the way it is.
That is correct.
Okay, so that's one of the reasons. I mean, that doesn't mean that automatically you're going to get a charter city. This right. is just a committee of our citizens who are not being paid who will look at what a charter city could do for us.
Correct. And, okay. and in fact, it may not even move forward after Tuesday. If council doesn't support the idea, then it would have to essentially be done by the public. The idea is that if the council approves the idea, then we could also approve how we want to create that committee or how we want to do the charter. It's possible that the council could do the charter on their own. Now, I would prefer that if this is truly going to be open and transparent, that it has to be done by the public, by the people, for the people.
No, I agree. It can't just be something done because it needs to be done by a group of people, and then the city votes on it.
And then city votes on it.
Okay, now one of the questions is, and this chat room is just kind of rolling through here, was if you have a charter city, then we're talking about an elected mayor,
Not necessarily. It's again up to the committee and what the people want. And so it may be as we have currently today. Or it could be that you have an accountable mayor. It's accountable to the people, and that is a possibility as well, sometimes referred to as a strong mayor. I call it the accountable mayor, and he or she is directly accountable to the people. Those are all things that are yet to be decided.
Okay. So, let's say you have an accountable mayor in the way you describe him. Does that mean that he is going to take the place of the city manager? And then that means, and so he essentially becomes the city manager, or does it?
He is the executive officer, and you would have an assistant to the mayor, and maybe,
Kurt Starman right now is himself and two assistants.
That is correct.
If this came out like this, would be like the mayor, and then he has an assistant or two, and then, so we've cut out that city manager?
It's possible. Those are all things, again, yet to be discussed.
Because that's a pretty expensive proposition to have everybody stay on there.
Well, again, those are all things yet to be decided. But I think in today's time, when you take a look at what a city manager might cost and what our city manager costs and what most city managers cost and what it would cost to have a mayor, I think you'll see a cost savings to a large extent. So I think what you'll see here is not an expansion of government, but a decrease in the size and having the ability to directly go to your mayor, someone that's accountable to the people. And if you do not like that person, he or she may be recalled or the voters may vote that person out. But again, those were a little bit jumping to conclusions because
you don't know what's going to happen with it.
The committee, right. This is going to be, again, by the people, for the people as we move forward. And we can certainly make recommendations, but the whole point of it is to not have pressure from staff or council. Let the people do it.
Okay. You know, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, Patrick, because I know you're on a short short time schedule here, a great question coming in from Sharon. Could Patrick expound on the freedom from federal and state government a charter would allow us? Okay, we've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, our phone line's here, 605-4567. And we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. 7:45 in the morning, January the 14th, 2011. It's going to be a good day today, 61 degrees. Our guest is Patrick Jones, Reading City Council member. And he's talking about the prospect of having a charter city. There's going to be a vote on it Tuesday night at the City Council. And before we left, I asked you this question about what can a charter city do to protect us from state and federal laws?
Yeah, and again, on Tuesday, I'm encouraging people to come out, as I always do, to come out and take part in your local government. I think the charter city really fits well into that. But a charter is Reading's constitution. This is called home rule, and the charter gives Reading almost absolute independence from the state, with a few exceptions, the Brown Act, for example. This means that Reading can determine its own path in self-governance. It also means that local voters will determine their own manifest destiny, not Sacramento. That's a big paragraph there.
But what's that? I mean, when you say that, it means like if Sacramento passed, let's just use as an example the ammunition law. The ammunition law says everybody has to give their, we're going to talk about this one, but, put your thumbprint, the whole thing.
Very familiar with it.
Now, the city can say, that's fine, we're not going to put money aside to enforce this.
Well, and it's possible. More research on those individual cases would obviously need to be done. And, in fact, there have been some charters that have been written in the past where certain aspects of the charter has been challenged and, of course, overturned. And it doesn't mean the whole charter gets thrown out. It means that single aspect might be challenged. And so all those things are issues that will come up. And but, for example, here's a good example. We have a state prevailing wage today that under the general law that we abide by. Reading could, if the committee so feels the need, we could create our own local prevailing wage, unique to our own circumstances and our own environment, saving taxpayers considerable amount of money.
That leads to privatization in some cases, wouldn't it?
It may or may not. Again, but it's something that I think that we have control over, which we do not have control over today. And these are the opportunities and the possibilities as we move forward. And all those things will be flushed out in great detail by the public in open, transparent meetings.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning.
Good morning.
You have a question for Councilman Jones.
Yeah.
Good morning, Charles.
Yeah, good morning. Under Article 11, Section 5 of the State Constitution, my phone is... can you hear me still?
Yes. Yeah, we can.
Connection.
Yeah, the dividing line is whether something is a municipal affair or if it is a statewide concern. And the courts rule that if a matter is statewide concern, then charter not supreme. If matter is a municipal affair, then the charter is supreme. For instance, on the prevailing wage, it is considered municipal affair, but such thing as traffic regulation, that is considered a statewide concern.
You're absolutely right, and there are those limitations.
Also, the thoughts of trying to figure out the words to put to this, when the matter with the biomass operator on Latona Road, when, the county was, pulling all sorts of, stunts with them, it seems like if we were better able to handle our discipline problems amongst the bad apples,
we wouldn't be having
then
these problems.
We would be able to have a way to deal with that, whereas under general law, it's considered to be, a property right rather than an employment at will or something like that. And so, we don't want the monkey business happening in certain parts of the county
to
infect the city and lower the morale of the 99% of good employees because of the 1% who gets away with stuff.
Right. Hey, okay, Charles, Patrick's got to be, we got to take a break here in a minute, and Patrick has to run
after
that.
I'll take my answer off here.
All right,
thank you
very much.
Well, Charles is actually, he's absolutely correct that certain things, will not be affected by the charter, and obviously certain things that we can. And, you know, and Charles goes to most of the council meetings, and it's his type of input that we need from the public come Tuesday if they want to explore the idea. And there's so many different aspects to this, and I'm certainly not a charter expert. And essentially what we're going to do is talk about the possibility of a charter, see if we can get council support, and listen to the public and see what the public wants to do, to see if the public is interested in taking more local control in their local government.
Well, you know, here's I'm not sold on the idea of a charter city. I'm just not, because I don't know enough about it. But this is what I believe, is if putting together a committee of our citizens to look at it is not a bad idea, and to move forward with something like this. And then it still has to be, and it's at no cost. Is that correct there, Patrick?
Yeah, it has minor costs. It's not a, it's, again, we're not going to have staff influence or council influence.
Right.
We do have to take notes and abide by the Brown Act.
Sure.
So those things will have some minor costs.
Okay. And so moving forward on it, just to see if we wanted to have it in the aspects of the charter city,
right,
then the people would vote on it after that. So
right,
what
and
we're
we've
doing,
got
it's a fact-finding commission on something that could have a huge impact on us.
Correct. And the amount of time you'd asked earlier is how much time this will take. We'll take as much time as the committee deems necessary to flesh out all the ideas and the issues.
Are you going to have a minute to answer? I know you've got another one. Okay, John, can we keep this short?
We can, Carl, and thanks for the opportunity. Patrick, if you don't mind, could you, I know this is putting the horse before the cart, but could you comment on your feelings about term limits for both the mayor and the council under this concept of city charter?
Yeah, thank
okay,
you,
thanks,
John. Yeah, I like term limits. I think it's good for Sacramento. I think it would be good for Reading. So personally, myself, I would be very agreeable to like two limits, you know, two terms as the limit. But again, that's going to be decided by the people, for the people, as to what they think
charter
is best for the city.
Okay, last question before we break. Do you expect this to be a 3-2 vote?
I don't know. You know, it's you know, I've only talked to one council member. Obviously, the Brown Act is very important with us. And, you know, I don't know how it will go. But I have listened to the people. And I have gotten a lot of positive feedback from the public, and that's why I'm pushing it forward. So I really don't know what council will do. I'm hoping that I can convince them that it's worthy to put a committee together.
Well, I think for all of our listeners out there and everybody, is that I think it'd be a good idea to show up on Tuesday to let the city council hear. You know, I see no problem. I see a lot of advantages to move forward with a vote, you know, for this, to have a committee look at it, because if it's something that's going to help our city and it's going to help our city grow and be managed more efficiently and more effectively, then I think maybe we should at least let the charter committee look at it and come back to us so we can vote on it later. Anyway, we've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 7:55 in the morning on January the 14th. It's going to be a good day today, 61. Weather brought to you by Anselmo, but isn't an investment supposed to bring you a return? Go ask yourself, is your heating and air conditioning paying you back more than you put into it? Geo Exchange Heating and Air Conditioning can do that. Find out more from Crystal Air at 530-623-1000. That's 530-623-1000, or visit their website at crystalair.info. That's crystalair.info. Find out what they can do for your heating and cooling problems. Okay. The idea of a charter city, I'm not saying that it may not be the right thing for Reading. Might, you know, if, on the other hand, I truly believe that we need to have our citizens committee look at it, and a fair citizens committee, to see how this could work, how this could be an enhancement to how we govern ourselves here. The fact is that we have a city council that we elect. They take turns being mayor, and yet the people that make the decisions, because, you know, during the election, some of the couple of things I was surprised about. When the city council, when we asked one of the people running for city council about, well, what about this? Why don't you do something about this? And his answer was, I can't do anything about that. That person falls under the city manager, Kurt Starman. I said, well, wait a minute. You can't just tell this person to shape his act up? not talking about Kurt, but this other thing. And he goes, no, that's Kurt Starman. He does that. So what the city council does, they control, I think, two people. I think it's the, I think it's the city manager, who then runs the whole government. Now, the oversight of the city council should be to that city manager. And the staff, the staff's loyalty, you want to be to the city. But then again, they're working as a staff. And if their directors say, hey, I want you to do this study, I want you to, you know, and then they kind of cherry pick it or pick the kind of things that they think are right for the city, that they think are right for the city, then it comes on up to the city council. The city council, for the most part, if you've got a job, because this is just, face it, a part-time job, even though it shouldn't be, then has to go through all of the material to make their decision. Now, you may think that I'm going for a, oh, gosh, then we need an elected mayor. We need a an official that is being held responsible, you know, instead of a bureaucrat that's appointed. You know, I'm not saying that yet. I would like to see that the city council has a more of a say, that they can reach down and touch each one of those departments, that they can get together and you know, make changes, or that they can have the city manager make changes, which is, I think they can already if they band together and they get three votes, which is another strange thing. Anyway, next Tuesday will be a good day to go to the city council meeting. Give your 2 cents worth, you know, whether you need it or not. You know, but if you get enough people down there saying, at least take a look at the city, the idea of us having being a charter city, just look at it. Because they can come back, we still have to vote on it. I see no problem with that. I see no problem because, you know, it's at minimal cost. I would like to find out the exact cost, but I'm sure it is, because you're talking about volunteers, people that are appointed from each one of the city council members that can appoint three to go in and look at this. Frankly, I see no downside to looking at it. Of course, that's just my opinion. Okay, and we're talking, some of our chat room here is biggest concerns about city charter concept, it being sidetracked by city staff. That's a good point. If their job is at issue, it could become a significant problem. And term limits have their problems, too. I don't like the fact you can only serve 2 terms at the state level, but can literally die in the federal arena. Well, we won't go into that one. But, you know, the idea of term limits, you know, I always thought of term limits as this. That the voters are your term limits. If they don't like what you're doing, they vote you out. And then you can use as an argument, well, yeah, but it's just so much harder to get elected if you're not an incumbent. And then we look at what happened in this last congressional election when you had a change of 60 seats. So obviously it can be done if the person that's representing you is not doing a good job. Okay, when we come back from our break here for the news, Fox News, we're going to have Jay, the taxi driver, will be on. We're going to be talking philosophy and other things that are happening in our city. And we're going to be discussing, you know, the events as they see from the streets right here in River City. This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, North State. Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567, and our streaming and chat line is KCNR1460.com. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda got out yesterday against the advice of me, came down here, did her show yesterday, and then the show last night, and now is home. Inner ear infection and sinus infection.
And down.
That's right. It's 8:05 in the morning. It's January the 14th. It's going to be a great day today. It's going to get up to like 61 degrees. It's the current temperature is 46. And I think for the next few days, according to the weather service, we're going to have pretty good weather. Today, mostly sunny. Saturday, partly sunny, but still, tomorrow on Saturday at 1 o'clock up at IGO, we're having the Pearl Harbor commemoration. It's going to be a memorial that's going to be unveiled at 1 p.m. at IGO at the cemetery up there, the Veterans Cemetery. It starts at 1, so be there probably around 12:30 so they can help you get to a seat, and so there'll be room and there won't be a rush at the last minute. So
So that's tomorrow out at IGO at the cemetery, the Pearl Harbor commemoration, the memorial of it. Okay, and it's going to be a nice day. It's going to be a high near 62. Sunday, looks like it may start raining a little bit, but the rest of the week looks like it could be okay. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's Vineyards, which is short ride out of Palisadro up towards Shingletown. Great food, great ambiance, steaks, seafood, salads, you name it, they have it. Great desserts out there. Anselmo's Vineyards. Now, this segment, we had a young man on here a few weeks ago, Jay. Jay calls in a lot. And Jay is the yellow cap guy.
Good morning.
Good morning. And he has his own philosophies. And we talked to him a few times. And the fact is that we like to talk to taxi drivers and bus drivers and people that deal with other people because you hear so many great things. So good morning, Jay.
Good morning. Yeah, they say that it's a shame that all the people who know how to run the country are cutting hair or driving cab.
Okay. Now, so there's been a huge news story in this tragedy down in Arizona.
Yeah, that's tragic. My grandmother lives in Tucson, and she shops in that actual shopping center. So she's been kind of traumatized by that.
Oh my gosh.
And that was rough for Nana, but also I'm getting a feel for myself and other people that we're kind of tired of being treated like we're a bunch of 3-year-old chalk eaters. We need to be explained things that, hey, some crazy person who seems to be fairly apolitical goes crazy in Tucson, and all of a sudden it's somebody in Alaska's fault or somebody in New England's fault. I mean, people are tired of watching this stuff happen. Just do your jobs and don't try to always do all this little manipulation stuff,
Well, I think that, unfortunately, when you get a story like this or an event like this that is tragic and it captures the national attention, a congresswoman being shot, and people trying to draw lines between words that somebody says, a website, a self-induced, for the people that are saying it, fantasy if that had not happened, this woman would not have been shot and all these people would have still been alive. I don't believe that because of too many things have happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The parts that, when the terrorist at Fort Hood,
right,
when he started shooting like this, I didn't see people trying to draw a parallel a huge parallel between him being a Muslim and the Muslim community, as opposed to this guy shooting the more that they research it, they find out he is apolitical, and it's just crazy how they tried to draw tried to attach him to Tea Party, conservative talk radio, Sarah Palin. I don't understand this.
It's a hit,
and they're still fighting it. It's ratings.
Right.
That's what they want. Yeah. They want to go fight and do that and to bring this stuff up and get into these things. And frankly, I find that it's kind of like standing on the graves of these people and using their blood to go ahead and what
they're
thinking.
Using the blood of a 9-year-old girl and all those other people for political gain.
Yeah.
It's just unconscionable. It doesn't matter if you have a D or an R in front of your name.
That's right. When this happened, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, but you don't make... You don't make
political
money. Make money off it. We got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Mr. Copeland's Fanfare for the Common Man. We love it. Yeah, this is Carl Underbot, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming and chatting at KCNR 1460 at 8:13 in the morning on January the 14th.
Yeah. That's one of those tunes that just puts a shiver down the spine.
It does.
Yep. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. It's at 1345 Liberty Street, and Doug Tooley is the man that puts in Dish Satellite. Does a great job. He's a local man, local business. He has rebates. He did have rebates on HDTV on the cable. Just give him a call, 244-1988. That's Doug Tooley, Dish Satellite, 244-1988. Don't call the 800 number. That goes to somebody in a faraway place. This is a local guy, 244-1988.
You know, Doug's a great guy. I used to work for him many moons ago, and he's a really, really nice man. He'll take care of you.
Well, you know, that's true. We like he's the one that does our Dish Satellite. You know, we've got a lot of people coming in. Sungold and Angel, good morning. They're talking about what a beautiful day it is outside where you can get rain for 2 days and you get this beautiful sun, and you're absolutely right. So good morning. Now, before we get right back to Jay, I was talking to people earlier about the horoscopes and how that's changed, because there seems to be an extra month in here. So they've added another sign, another astrological sign. All right? Now, somebody needs to call me at 605-4567 and tell me how to pronounce this word. I know you all know how to do it. Don't do it on the chat room. It does me no good. It does me no good unless you break it down into syllables like you would a three-year-old and say what this word is. 605-4567. It's O-P-H-I-U-C-H-U-S. I'm sure it must be a simple word. So, give me a call at 605-4567 and tell us. But nobody in here knows how to pronounce it. Nobody that's been around in here knows how to pronounce it. So just give it to us. Be gentle when you do it. All right. Our guest is Jay, the taxi driver, the yellow cab man. You know, Jay, around town, there's just, I see the... more foreclosures than it's ever been, highest in, it's 6 years or 8 years or ever. I see another business. I see this Anchor Blue going away.
Yeah.
And that one, too. What's your feeling? I mean, because you get to see a lot of people, and you and your friends, and I know all of y'all talk, all your fellow drivers there.
Oh, yeah.
What do you feel is the climate of the town?
Well, frankly, the town's kind of getting a little more confident, to be honest. Times are tough. There's no doubt about it. But we're resilient people. The people in this town are acclimating to what's happening to them, and they're simplifying their lives. So that's why you saw increased sales this last December with Christmas and all that, because people are budgeting, and maybe we don't need that extra car. I've actually seen a lot of people who have jobs and careers. They're getting rid of their cars. They're taking a cab or a bus or just changing their lifestyle, carpooling in such a way that they're able to have a comfortable life, but they're simplifying, and that's why we're able to get through this.
Well, simplifying your life, that's a great idea. And I went through one of those. I used to go through those phases about once every 3 years. I'd just sell everything.
Poverty will do that for you.
I lived on a boat for a while, and that really simplifies your life because you don't have room for anything. But that's an idea is how to do that. But it's true. The sales did go up, but I also I still see 425,000 people seeking unemployment benefits. So how can you in this time in our lives in the economy and all that, still continue to move forward and get ahead, and I guess
stick together.
Yeah,
family members move in with each other. Friends carpool. You cook more. I mean, you do what you can to try to get by, and you work hard. You do your job well, and it all works out. Kind of a segueing from that a little bit. We're doing that at Yellow Cab right now. We're upping our game a bit. We've added extra drivers during the day now. With permanent shifts,
so you're seeing more requirement for cabs.
Yeah, because we have an inverse economy. When things are good, everybody owns cars and don't need a cab. When things are bad, people need a cab. So we find ourselves actually with greater demand right now.
Well, one of the things, of course, is yellow cab drivers advertise with us. Is that right?
Yeah,
I just want everybody to know this, and this is what started this. Jay's been a faithful listener and caller.
I love your station. I love it very much.
And then we talked, you know, he talked to us about advertising. We said, you know, sure, we can, you know, be glad to do that. And the drivers got together.
Right, the company, we have some great owners.
They're
just kind of keeping our company going. And they told us that they weren't able to do any of the advertising, pay for it. So the drivers decided, and since we're all part owners because we're an LLC, we decided to get together and pass the hat and share the cost. And so we're advertising with you, and we're very happy we did. And, you know, that's what you do through hard times. You dig in, you fight harder.
Yeah, you know, this was, and to us, we were, and Linda and I were really touched by that. The drivers got together and did it. So, and we, you know, it had nothing to do with you being on because that was something that started well before that.
Right.
And, you know, listening to the philosophy of the taxi cab driver. You're not a New York guy. Of course, if you were a New York cab driver, you wouldn't really be able to understand the language here.
I was raised here, and this is my town. I never left because I love this town. Where else would I go? This is where my family is. This is where all my people are. I like this town.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We're talking philosophy with Jay, the taxi driver. Welcome back to Free Fire. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. The home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. 8:23 in the morning, January the 14th. It's going to be a great day today. Mike's Music. Linda loves Mike's Music, as do I. It's right off of Cypress, and the phone number there is 243-3774. They have got a sale on instruments right now. Not only can you get a great Not only can you get a great guitar, drums, or anything like that, but then you can get lessons from them, and they are just, you know, great at that also. A professional group. They've been here. They're locals. They've, you know, it's been a family business for a long time. Linda goes down there and rehearses. They've got a great sound room. They've got the people there are truly pros at Mike's Music. It's 243-3774. Give them a call. They're on Cypress behind the Safeway, gas station there. So go to Mike's Music. And our guest today is Jay, the taxi cab driver. And that's, you know, I like saying that, Jay, the taxi cab driver. Hey, Jay, okay, there was a story from Southern California that authorities stopped a suspected drunk driver near Hemet earlier this week and found that he had a goat riding shotgun.
He was bad.
Yeah, that's right. The driver remained in the vehicle. Another guy jumped out, and he ran down the street and fell over. So really, he was running around the car in circles, and they just waited till he got tired. Neither man claimed ownership of the goat, which led authorities to suspect that it had been stolen. Frankly, you know, why couldn't the goat have just been hitchhiking and they just picked it up to do it a favor, and they could not understand why there was lipstick on the goat. Anyway, have you ever picked up a goat before?
Not professionally.
Do you let animals ride in the yellow cab?
Yeah, we do. They need to behave. You know, no chewing of the seats or of the drivers. But
you let people,
yes,
the yappy little purse dogs.
Dogs and cats. And we've actually had large dogs in there, but they got to sit on the floor and be behaved. We don't want anything to hurt the seats or damage the vehicle.
Okay, now, Yellow Cab is offering, you know, last time we were here, people were surprised to hear some of the things that Yellow Cab offered. Groceries?
I mean,
grocery shopping?
We do all kinds of things for people.
Give us a quick list of things that a cab company does that you would never think a cab company would do.
Well, we will jump your battery for $20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your car won't start, call us. We'll come running, $20, if it's in the city area. We regularly go shopping for elderly people or people who are disabled and can't get out on their own. We come to your house. You give us the list and the money. We go purchase, come back, and there you go. We take people to the hospital all the time or to doctor's appointments. We have a lot of seniors in this town, and we take very good care of them. They're our special, you know, I treat them just like they were my nana, you know. So we do a lot of that kind of stuff. We take a lot of kids to school. We do a lot of different things for the community, and it's a good feeling because you're helping people, and it makes you feel like you accomplished something at the end of your day, and we all need that.
No, that's true. And, you know, the idea of having, you know, I just never thought, you know, you think of cabs as being impersonal. even though that we know you, I mean, that's something different. You always think of, like, cab drivers are, okay, you're getting a car, you know, throw your luggage in there, we get you to your spot, get out, pay me, and that's it. But it seems like it's almost like you're taking care of part of your family.
Well, the really neat thing is it is like that. In fact, a lot of times what we do is we end up getting to know these people so well, we become friends. Some people, it's not unusual for some regulars to go out to meals with their driver, just because you become really good friends with these people. And it's not just an impersonal act. It's actually a friendly thing now. I even inadvertently was a matchmaker a while back. I was really busy that day.
Had nothing to do with goats, did it?
No goats involved, okay. I promise. I was very busy that day. There were two people who were going to the same location. They live nearby. I picked them both up. Now they're together because they met in my cab. Matchmaker.
Hey, no, that's pretty. That's cool. I mean, you wouldn't expect. You know, Linda
wasn't on purpose. Wasn't on purpose.
Linda would be going, "Oh, so." Yeah. Hey, good morning, Travis. Thanks for we've got a new chat member here. Good morning. You know, Jay, what about, you know, I'm looking right now. Gas prices are going to start spiking.
Yeah, it hurts.
Impact.
Well, it hurts us because it's right out of our pocket.
Right.
We were actually talking about that yesterday, and we have not. When we get up around $354, we have to put a $1 surcharge to help us with the fuel prices.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really trying to hold off on that because everybody's trying to save some money, and we don't want to hurt anybody. But the other guys have had their surcharge for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying really hard not to do that. But if it gets up around $4, we're going to have to.
Well, I think that's going to happen. We're going to be talking about that too. The fact is that gas prices are probably going to see $4 a gallon this summer again,
mm-hmm.
and when that and also the impact on food.
Well, that hurts a lot.
The food, with a lot of things that are going on with the floods and all this, is the impact on the food supply is going to be also significant. And that's another show we're going to be talking about that impact on that because. The fuel to get it here, and it's already costly because there's a scarcity of certain products,
right.
It's just going to make it worse. So this summer should be an interesting time. I mean, the economy, even if it's starting to come back at this point, is going to take another hit this summer. So these are things that we're going to be talking about later.
Well, thank you for having me on, Carl. Well, it sure is a pleasure. I love your station.
Well, thank you very much, and we're so glad to have you here, Jay. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Oh, we got like 30 seconds left. Is that right, Brad? Hey, how do they get a hold of you?
222-1234, and you can call me directly at 510-0651.
And we recommend this guy. So, call in about Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:34 in the morning, January 14th. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, located on Athens Avenue at the Cypress Square Shopping Center there. They give great haircuts. Bob?
Sorry about that.
Bob, mm-hmm. Turn off your microphone. If you're going to be zipping things up and down, people probably don't understand that. This is community radio. This is family radio, Bob. You got that bad, Bob? All right. Cypress Square Barbershop. They give great haircuts. They give discounts to veterans. They don't do hairstyling. They don't do gel. They give haircuts. It's man's last stronghold, my friends. You go in there. It's Friday. Get a haircut before the big ceremony tomorrow out at IGO for the when we commemorate the Pearl Harbor survivors and Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th. They're going to have a memorial service out there and commemorate the memorial out there tomorrow at 1 o'clock. But at Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. Okay, speaking of military, you know, this week we talked about, and it was a big thing, is that how the Chinese unveiled their new fighter. And the fact is that their new fighter jet is comparable. It has some of the same characteristics. It has the ability to match, if not exceed, our fighter jets. And the problem with this is, part of this came, you know, of course, because we allowed computers to be sent to China. That's just one thing. The other thing, of course, is the fact that they unveiled it while Gates Secretary of Defense Gates was there and then said that they, this was just a coincidence. We didn't do anything. You know, this was not something that was on purpose. It was just a coincidence that we just happened to unveil a fighter jet, an aircraft that can match ours, when the Secretary of Defense of the United States was sitting there. Now, how many of y'all really believe that? Do you believe that's true? Of course not. They did it for a purpose. They did it for a purpose is to let us know that they are becoming a power. They're building submarines. At what point, you know, when we start talking about defense cuts, now, Department of Defense cuts, can we do that? Yes. Trust me, after 30 years in the military and watching some of the things we have done, is there ways to consolidate? Are there ways to cut costs? Yes, there is. There's got to be. On the other hand, to start talking about cuts in the middle of two wars, okay, we're gonna wind those down. Well, Iraq is winding down. We've just added more troops over to Afghanistan. Well, how are you going to do this? And now we're going to be cutting out thousands from our defense forces. Thousands. All right. At the same time, you're watching China spending billions to build their defense, to build their army, to build their navy, and to build their air force. At the same time, we're signaling that we're cutting back. I don't quite understand this philosophy. I don't understand the fact that the Secretary of Defense says, oh, no, they didn't mean anything. I'm sure it was just a coincidence when they flew this jet over us. That's a stealth, has stealth technology that we have. I'm sure it meant nothing. So you have to ask yourself, well, what are we thinking of? What is the plan for the future? We canceled an amphibious vehicle that goes from ship to shore at high speeds. If you remember the old Amtrak, you watched the old movies where you've got an armored tractor coming across the beaches and all that, and everybody says, well, they're too slow. Well, the new ones go fast. And it gives you the opportunity to travel from ship to shore at a quicker speed and still have protection when they're coming in. The Marine Corps has been working on this thing for years, and there's been cost overruns and all that, so they canceled it. Fine. I haven't looked at that project in a long time, but what's going to take its place? Are the aircraft going to take its place? Is the idea of an amphibious landing, is it gone? I don't think so. There's still, you know, most of the world has beaches. And the idea is to get it from ship to shore. But again, going back to the Department of Defense, is what's the clear-cut message we're giving from our Department of Defense? We're cutting back at the same time China is going forward. We're changing with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, changing that against the service chief's recommendation. So that's going. And that seems to be the big thing that they were trying to push through. And now they're talking about, and we're going to talk about this, they're talking at a later date, is having the military retirees pay more. That's right, pay more, significantly more, for their health care. Now, these are people that are that suffered injuries in the defense of this country. It's sent to places by the people of this country through their elected representatives, and they're talking about having them pay more for their health care. And this has not happened yet, but it has been raised by Gates on how they want to save money. You know, of course, for me, for them to say that, my first question always goes back to the federal government and the state governments. What have you done to stop funding illegal aliens? Before you take away things from our schools and our citizens, our military, our veterans, those people who are citizens of our states, what have you done to stop paying for the illegals? When you stop that, then come back and talk to me. We've got to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 605-4567 is the phone number, and we're streaming on KCNR1460.com. It's 8:44 in the morning, and we're happy to have another guest that was just walking in today to pick up something I was helping him with. His name's Sean Farrell. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Carl.
And the reason we're having in and saying hello to Sean is Sean's is going to join the Marine Corps here in the next, what, next few weeks?
That's the plan. It looks like right now, depending on what slot they have available, I'll be leaving in July or October.
Okay, and you're going into Officer Candidate School?
Correct.
And you want to be a?
Marine officer, aviator.
An aviator. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's all right. You know, there's still Marine officers there. And yeah. In fact, the Commandant is an aviator.
True.
I know people, I'll be getting a lot, I'll probably get a lot of flack over that one. So why'd you join, why do you want to join the Marine Corps?
A couple of different reasons why I want to join. One reason I want to challenge, I want to lead, I want to see what I'm made of.
Well, I tell you what, you're going to be challenged, all right. Now, you've been, and one of the people think, people say, okay, yeah, gosh, I'm going to join the Marine Corps, I want to be an officer. There's a lot more to it than just that,
uh-huh.
than just joining.
Absolutely.
It, probably at one time, when I came in, it was okay. I mean, you know, if you could you pass the test and go to OCS, but now things are a little bit tighter. So talk to us about that.
Well, the process now is, or at least for aviation, it's kind of the same, too, if you're going ground. The first part is that you have to pass the basic physical. After you pass the physical, you fill out this application, and they kind of vet you. They go through, they ask for sources. If you're going like I am, already graduating, they want a copy of your degree. And then if you get that done, since then it changes a little bit for flight, then you have to take an additional exam for flight, a pre-flight exam, and then if that comes back, you know, and you pass it, then they fly you to Pensacola and you take a pre-flight physical, and if you can come through all four of those things looking all right, then they slot you when they can get you in.
So have you taken the pre-flight physical yet?
No, I have not.
So, okay, after you sign it.
I'm early in the process.
Well, that's
right now.
That's
I'm on the application.
Well, that's a new thing, doing flying people down there for a pre-flight physical.
That's what they explained to me.
Yeah, it used to be is when you took original physical, and then you went through OCS, and then the basic school, and then you headed on down to Pensacola. Of course, at that time, then they started, you know, they would start dumping people because they couldn't pass the next the flight physical, which was kind of a waste of time and effort for everybody.
Yeah, they do it all up front now.
Well, they should do that. It's they're spending way too much money to train an aviator without, or you know, to bring them in, get them through officer candidate school, get them through the basic school,
uh-huh.
and then send them down there. But what it usually means though is in the Marine Corps can put them into a different slot.
Yes.
So and we
what they do on flights is they guarantee you an opportunity to fly, and then you know, assuming nothing happens to you, and you as you go through. Then, you know, you go to pre-flight indoctrination, 4 weeks to kind of suss everyone out, whether you're going to be fixed wing or rotary or powered lift, and that's, uh-huh. where,
so
you, that's where you go.
Power lift.
Osprey.
The Osprey. You know what, I shouldn't say this, because they're using them all the time in combat, they're using them all the time, but we first looked at those, we just looked at it and said, I don't know if those things ever fly, but they seem to be flying pretty good now.
They
and,
do.
And they fly fast, and they fly far, and you can take them off a regular amphibious landing deck there.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Sean, we just, you know, didn't expect this, and when I saw you coming in early, I just wanted to have you on and just say thank you for serving your country. I know your father served in both the Marines and the Navy.
Correct.
And is very proud of you over this, as are we, that you wanted to join the Marines.
Thank you very much, and I still have to do it. Yeah, I still got to get through OCS. But.
Yeah, but you know, you're taking that first step, and OCS will be okay. You've been working out a lot.
Yeah.
And as long as you can do it like a dead rope hang there for a while and then climb, you'll be okay.
I'm sure I'll get it one way or another.
Okay, Sean, thanks a lot, and thanks for serving our country.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
But I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:51 in the morning, January the 14th. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, a great place. Joe and Shelley support this community and support our veterans. They have Espresso Joe's, which is great coffee for you at just incredibly good prices. And, of course, their tobacco shop, which has the finest walk-in humidor with all the great cigars you could possibly want for your cigar-smoking friends. And they have a meeting room that they open up to our community. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, great place. Okay, you know, somebody asked, well, what are we going to talk about next? Let's talk about something I saw in the paper a couple of times. You know, one was record search. Like they had a person get arrested for being under the influence and running into another car. That's not unusual, except this one was. He was under the influence of marijuana. Well, of course, you can imagine that just started the firestorm. And the thing about it is that, hey, you drive under the influence, I don't care if it's marijuana, I don't care if it's alcohol, I don't care if it's prescription drugs, it's something. If you're under the influence, you shouldn't be driving. And then you hear all the things like, oh, no. And I have actually heard people say this to me. I drive better if I'm smoking marijuana because I don't drive as fast. Okay. I mean, you're still impaired, though, right? You're still impaired. And so, of course, that goes, you know, oh, we're going to, oh, you shouldn't, you know, that's what happens when you legalize it, blah, blah, blah. You know what? It still, it goes back to people, you know. You want to stick it into your body, that's your problem. You know, this is something that's been deemed illegal in the state of California. The thing is this is something you're going to see a lot more of, is people driving under the influence of marijuana. Whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. So, you know, and for marijuana users or the advocates of medicinal marijuana, hey, just swallow it. Just like people are going, they're saying about alcohol, you're going to see people that are driving under the influence of alcohol. They should be taken off the roads. Same thing for marijuana. If you're driving under the influence of, I don't care what it is, lose your license. Too bad. But here comes the first. Here comes the first letter. And Steve Carlton's going to be on next week, our new district attorney. And I'm going to ask him about this. They're talking about how the jail is overrun. This is a letter to the editor here. Everybody knows that the jails are overrun and overpopulated. And that, and what exactly is District Attorney Steve Carlton going to do to fix this problem? The jail is filled up with people who are recreational drug users who get felony convictions for possession of a very small amount, less than half a gram, of meth. Okay, which isn't a new problem to Shasta County. It went on and saying that that's not right. Oh, gosh, they aren't really criminals. They're just meth users. Where have you heard this one before? Oh, wait a minute. It was marijuana. And now they're calling for, well, why should people that use meth be put in jail? It's just a little. Oh, here we go. I mean, I was waiting to see how long that was going to be. Now, is meth a problem? Okay, Bad Bob, get ready to jump in on this. Is meth a problem?
During my years as a reporter, some of the most heartbreaking stories I ever covered had meth at their very core. I am unequivocally opposed to even relaxing those restrictions, you know, those laws a bit. If you haven't seen what the deaths and destruction and tearing apart of families that garbage brings about, I couldn't feel any stronger about it.
Well, no, but see, this is, you know what, Bad Bob, you're absolutely right. How many times we look out here and we see what the problems is for meth? Now, this is what Benito did. Benito said he made it a felony. Mr. Carlton has said under his administration, he's going to have his lawyers or the prosecutors look at each case and see if it's going to be a felony or not. This letter is exactly what I could see coming. That, hey, you know what, just a little, half a gram of meth, I don't even know how much that is. But if you have that shouldn't be a felony. That should, these are families. You're breaking up by putting people in jail. These are the exact same arguments you use for marijuana. Now, can you draw a parallel between marijuana and meth? You know, I know people that do medicinal marijuana or smoke. I don't even know if it's medicinal. I don't see that as the same as people that are using meth. I don't see that as being the same. Yet, you're starting to see it right now. People are starting to ask about it. Well, you know what, gosh, you know, I don't think we need to put meth users in jail. They need help. I think one of the things about getting help is under, you know, and Benito said this, that he believed, or what he said was, if you make it felonies, then they can get, then there's federal funding, then they can help people. If it's not a felony, they can't. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I understood that correctly when he was on the show, that if he makes it a felony, automatic felony, then they can get help through treatment systems. Anyway, this is going to be a great question for the future, and for Mr. Carlton, when he comes in next Thursday, something like this. I think what he would say is that, again, each case is an individual case, and he's not going to say yes or no about it. All right, last couple minutes here, we want to talk about somebody that I hate to have it happen, but a gentleman by the name of Wayne Stamper. Served on the USS St. Louis. Passed away yesterday. He was 92 years old. He was a Pearl Harbor survivor. As you know, on Thursday we had Mike Wiley and we had Mel Fisher. Mel Fisher was also a Pearl Harbor survivor, 88 years old. And Mel told about the being there at Pearl Harbor. He talked about the attack at Pearl Harbor. How he was awakened by he was sleeping on the deck of his destroyer tender, and he was awakened by the Arizona taking a bomb across the bay from him, and the impact it had on his life, and of course the United States. We talked about that, and seeing that the gentleman, Mr. Stamper, passing away here in Reading, just kind of like really drives it home that our Pearl Harbor survivors, our World War II veterans are passing away from us. That we need to remember them. And one of the ways to do that is tomorrow. I go at the Veterans Cemetery at 1 o'clock. They're unveiling the Pearl Harbor Memorial out there. It's going to be a commemoration of those men and women who were at Pearl Harbor. We have, I think they said, around about 10 that still live up here in the North State and around Reading that were at Pearl Harbor. I'm going to be there tomorrow. I think it would be sad not to be there. This is a place you should come and bring your friends, bring your children, so they understand so also that this huge event we had in our lives, Pearl Harbor, World War II, Greatest Generation, building our nation to what it is. That's tomorrow at IGO, Pearl Harbor. And please remember, Wayne Stamper, 92 years of age, was on the USS St. Louis. He passed away yesterday.
Shasta Redding.